This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Danger! Danger!
It's not a lineup, it's not an army, it's not a stable, and it's not a family. It's an alliance of businessmen.
Place to Be Nation, you're listening to the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast, featuring a different way to look at and debate the history of wrestling. And now, your co-host, the PTBN PWO two-man power trip, JT and Will.
The Dangerous Alliance would rather die
than surrender to you.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another episode of the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast. I'm your co-host, JT, back in the saddle here. And with me, as always, my good friend, good old Will from Texas. Will, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I got WrestleMania weekend in 2 weeks, and me and JT will be hanging out in front of Jerry World.
Can't wait. I cannot wait. Yes, a couple weeks away, and it'll be our first meeting in person. I feel like we've become such good friends, Will, over the last couple years of these podcasts. So
sure. Well, if you've ever met old fat men before, then you'll be fine.
Well, that's my specialty, so we're good. It's been a while. We've had some stuff here and there. Personal lives getting in the way a little bit over the winter, but we are back in the saddle. Hopefully, we'll be back on our schedule, but we'll keep everyone posted. But we're very excited to be here tonight for a couple of reasons. One of those reasons is not our producer, but it's good that he's here anyway. That's Dan McGinn. How are you doing, Daniel?
I'm great, and I have a great idea. If you guys meet up at Mania, you should take a picture, a framed photo of me, and then have a group shot of us, and it'll be a nice promo for the podcast.
Yeah, not going to happen, Dan. Sorry.
I think we can just take one of me and Will, and then I'll treasure it and hang it on my wall. Does that work?
Yeah, that works. Okay.
Screw you both.
All right. Well, it's good to be back. So for those that may have forgotten or maybe new to the show, if you haven't checked it out before, we do 3 30-minute falls, so 3 30-minute games. Dan shakes up his magic bag. He dishes out a game. We have 30 minutes to get through it, and that's it. When the clock stops, we stop, and then we do some mail from our listeners at the end. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to being back here on the Dangerous Alliance. So, Dan, without further ado, why don't you, sir, tell us what is game number one?
Ah, my magic bag. But enough about my personal life, guys. We are going to play a little game called Building the Card, and we are going to build the best card we can think of from WrestleMania's 22 to 31.
All right, of course, WrestleMania is, like Will mentioned, just a couple weeks away, and we're getting the fever here, so we're going to do a little Mania this episode. We'll hopefully be back the week of Mania, and we'll do a couple more games Mania-related, I'm sure. That's what Dan will pull out of his sack. But like he mentioned, we're going to do the last 10 Manias, so we're mixing things up a little bit. We're not doing the whole history. We're just going to build a card of 10 matches, one from each show, and we have to have a world title, we have to have a mid-card title and the tag titles, but we also can have more title matches if we wish. Won't use a guy more than once either. So, William, why don't we start in Chicago, WrestleMania 22, big time. Of course, is the theme there. Any match that jumps out at you is a must-have before we get into kind of looking up and down the card.
None of them feel like they're must-haves, but there's some memorable matches here, right? You have Edge versus Mick Foley in the hardcore match. Is that the one where they lit it on fire? The fire was the ending?
Yeah.
You have Shawn Michaels versus Vince McMahon. Was this Vince McMahon's last match in WrestleMania? Besides the Bret match, which we're not going to count?
Yeah, it was his last match before Bret, and he hasn't had one since. I mean, okay, let's count, I guess. He didn't wrestle the Battle of the Billionaires. He was involved, obviously.
Yeah, but I wouldn't count. Yeah. And then we got the Cena versus Triple H. So, to me, I think you go with two guys that I don't think we need to see again and that we can put and we save our title matches, and that's Edge versus Mick Foley in the hardcore match.
Yeah, me too. I mean, the other sneaky one would be Trish and Mickey, which wasn't bad. I'm probably arguably the best women's match in WrestleMania history. Plus, you had the, you know, it was a pretty good storyline. You had the crotch grab before the finish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a misogynist, man. I don't care if the women make the show.
I know. But it's memorable. That could have been a dark horse. But to me, Edge and Foley's the best match on the card, and I think we should include that, especially since I doubt we'll use, like, I mean, we're definitely not going to use Foley later, Edge maybe, but I think it's worth using there. So let's go with that match to kick things off. So we head over to Detroit, WrestleMania 23. I think we had a couple options here. One is our world title match, Undertaker Batista, which was a great match. It came out of nowhere. The whole story is that they went in with a chip on the shoulder because they weren't closing the show. They felt like they should have, and they went out and had a great match. one of the best probably title matches in WrestleMania history, at least through this stretch here. Cena Michaels also, you know, very good match that closed the show. Rest of the card, a little up and down. I like the hoopla around the hair versus hair match. I don't think it's a great in-ring match, but, I mean, it drew money. Obviously, it had a big buy rate and a big gate for Donald Trump and Vince McMahon. So, you know, I could see the argument for that one if we wanted to go that way. What jumped out at you, Will? Anything?
Dude. At the time, right, the biggest WrestleMania of all time, right? Does it still hold the record?
I feel like the 29 topped it, maybe, but it's up there. Like, I know it's one of the biggest grossing, and at the time, like you said, it was definitely really, really high.
Dude, once again, I think we should pick a couple of guys who we're never going to use again and were part of the biggest angle that sold the show, and that's Bobby Lashley versus Umaga.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get the Vince, you get the Trump stuff. Like you said, it's hard to go against arguably the biggest drawing match in WrestleMania history. So I'm cool with going with that. Let's leave Taker Batista on the side. We'll see how we progress with title matches and with Taker matches. But that one's one of my favorites. So let's plug in Lashley Umaga for now. And we'll kind of leave Taker Batista on the side. And we'll head over to Orlando, WrestleMania 24. You know, you have Michaels and Flair and Flair's retirement match. You have Undertaker Edge. We've already used Edge. That was a really good world title match. And if you want to look again, kind of two guys we're not going to use again. I've always been a fan of the Floyd Mayweather Big Show Anything Goes match. I thought that was well built. Again, another solid drawing, you know, drew a solid number and solid gate and had a lot of mainstream media coverage around that too. And we have some money in the banks in here too that we could throw in if we want at some point. So. Are you a fan of the Michaels Flair match? What are your thoughts on that one?
Yes, I am. In fact, this is kind of a really hard WrestleMania for me to pick because it's one of my favorite WrestleManias of all time.
Yeah, were you at the? No, you didn't go to this one, right? You were at.
No.
Yeah.
But I like the opener. I love JBL. Like if we were doing Will's WrestleMania, you know, not the collective effort of the Dangerous Alliance, but just Will's, I would have JBL versus Finley on here all day, every day. Loved it. I enjoyed Batista versus Umaga. It was sloppy, but it was stiff, and I'm a really big fan of Umaga. Mm-hmm. I liked Floyd Mayweather versus the Big Show. I mean, I thought that was a really great performance. But, man, I mean, Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair, I think, is the one you have to go to. I think you have to do Flair's final match. I actually, you know, a lot of people in my circles really don't like the melodrama that surrounds like Shawn Michaels and Triple H matches.
Yeah.
I thought for Ric Flair's final WrestleMania match, it was absolutely appropriate. And I enjoyed this match. So, I don't plan, I mean, cause you know, we're about to get into those Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker matches. And so unless you want to use Shawn Michaels in one of those, I mean, I think him pinning Ric Flair is absolutely acceptable.
Well, the one I think we have to consider is the year after this from 25, only because that card is so soft otherwise, and there's no title involved, and it's really a great match. So I mean, it's, you know, let's look at 25 and talk it out.
Let's do that. And the other match, of course, that, you know, was kind of the big money match with Money Mayweather. So
yes,
we'll look at for 24, we'll put Michaels and Flair. And then Mayweather versus the Big Show, just kind of as a 1A, 1B type thing, just to see if we can fit a different match in for 25.
Yeah, because my thought is I feel like Mayweather plus Shawn Taker is probably going to be better than Shawn Flair and anything else from 25. So let's see if that holds true. We got a Money in the Bank match at 25. We get the Mask of a Divas Battle Royal. We have a really fun match, Jericho against Snuka, Piper, and Steamboat. And, of course, that kicked off Steamboat's two-match series with Jericho. We have the Hardys in Extreme Rule match, Matt versus Jeff, which was good. I thought they had a better match, I think, the next month at Backlash. Rey Mysterio and JBL's nothing. And then you got Cena, Edge, and Show, and then Triple H Orton, which is atrocious. I want that nowhere near my card. So I would say my options here, Taker, Shawn, Hardys, and then the Jericho Legends match.
I'm with you. Here's the thing. Are we trying to create a card that is memorable? If so, I think you can easily put the Jericho versus Legends in there. Or are we just trying to create a super card?
I think the best card we can possibly roll out is the one we want to build.
But what I'm getting here is I think we can use another Undertaker match that's really memorable, really great, doesn't use up a title later on.
Well, this doesn't use a title either.
But I think you can have, because when I look at this, if you put Chris Jericho with the Legends, remember that was a really fun match. So I would lean towards that as kind of a match I would have no problem putting on if it means we get to use Undertaker later on, plus get to keep the Flair retirement match.
Well, let's just do this, Dan. We are tracking it. Let's kind of do two tracks. Let's see where each one takes us. You know, we got the Taker, Shawn, Mayweather, Big Show track, and then we got the Shawn, Flair, and Jericho Legends. So we'll make that our main one, the Shawn, Flair one. We'll leave that other one to the side because I think we may have some time to go through both. So WrestleMania 26, we head over to Phoenix. Obviously, we're not going Bret and Vince. I've always been a fan of Cena Batista. I like that match a lot. I don't know if we want that to be our title match.
No, it's not going to be our title match.
Right. So we got Ray Punk, which was good. You know, the legacy match. This is probably the least of the Money in the Bank, so I don't think I'd want to roll with that one. I mean, all the Money in the Banks are still fine, but and Jericho Edge. We've already used Edge, though, and Jericho.
Yeah, this is a hard one because this is a soft card, right?
Yeah, which is funny because going in, I remember the build and the hype for the show was really, really big. I mean, going in was like everyone thought this might be the best Mania of all time when you looked at the card on paper. I think a lot of people were in denial with Bret, like what he might be able to do.
I want to use CM Punk later on, so I would and I don't want to use Jericho Edge. Plus, you know what? Look at that Money in the Bank. It was still a fun Money in the Bank, but we're not going to use any of those guys.
Yeah, no, we could burn it. So what's your what are you saving your title match for? Do you have one in mind?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Oh, I think I know.
Oh, you want me to tell you?
No. I know where you're headed. I already have it in mind. I know exactly where you're going. Okay. So let's go with the Money in the Bank because I'm with you. Let's save. You're going to say Punk. We're going to save the title. I know where you're headed.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. 27. Is this your Taker match or are we doing that one later?
Which one's 27?
Taker, Triple H.
Oh, come on, man. No.
I know where your Taker match is. All right. So 27. Cody, Ray, Orton, Punk. I got your boy the King in that mess with Cole.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Is Morrison in that Money in the Bank the year before? He was not. I don't mind that. I don't mind that Snooki match. It was actually pretty fun.
No, we're not going to put Snooki on there. 27.
I think Cody Ray is probably our way to go.
I think Cody, and that's a perfectly acceptable match, man. That's a really good match. So I think that would be a nice little match to go. That was, you know, we get Rey Mysterio and Cody weren't in that Money in the Bank, right?
No, because Cody was in the legacy match and then Rey beat Punk.
Okay.
So we're good.
So, yeah, I think that's where we go for 27, Rey Mysterio.
And that could maybe be our opener, too. We need a good opener, so.
Oh, I mean, dude, we're going to have a plethora of matches that could be our openers. And we're building an awesome card, man.
All right, 28, is this your title match? Oh, no, never mind. Wait, that's not the title match. Are you thinking Rock Cena for this one?
Rock Cena, absolutely. This is not my title match. You know what? What I'm kind of finding out, too, is that they don't really feature their secondary titles that well, do they, at Mania?
No, not at all. So that's why we got to probably do an ICR US at some point because some of these, it gets rough. They don't have as many, but we got time. We can always go back and fill.
Yeah, so we're on
28. Well, 28, we go Rock Cena. I think there's no doubt for that.
I think you're right. I think you have to go Rock Cena. I was at that one live for 28.
It was a great
Roxy
match.
Really good. CM Punk versus Chris Jericho was a really great match. The Hell in the Cell with Taker and Triple H, much more memorable live than it was rewatching it. So, you know, like once again, a lot of melodrama, but you have to go. I mean, dude, The Rock's return, you're definitely doing Rock. And it was the good match, not the shitty match the next year.
Right. Yep. 100% agree. That's the biggest match. One of the biggest matches in Mania history. Another one that drew, I mean, they drew 66,000, $8.2 million gate at WrestleMania 28. So that top 23, was it the buy rate or the gate that broke the record? Because 23 was 5.3 million and it's been topped almost every year since. So it must have been the pay-per-view buys that went crazy on.
So, something went nuts at that 23, where Meltzer continuously brings it up.
I think it was the buy rate. I think it drew up a huge buy rate.
Oh, okay.
And, well, at the time, it may have been the biggest gate, too. But, I mean, 28 did over $8.5 million, and the 29 did $11.9 million gate, which I think is the record still. Last year did 12.6, so there you go. All right, so where are we at? We are at number 29. And is this your Undertaker match?
Absolutely, without a doubt. For two reasons. One, WrestleMania 29 sucked, except for that Undertaker match, right? I mean, would you disagree with that?
Yeah, my mind's skewed because I was there. You know, when you're there, you're in another world. But you
were there. I mean,
objectively.
Dude, were you one of the tens of thousands of people sitting on your hands, bored out of your mind? Triple H match?
I was pretty boosted up and, you know, whatever. It was my first Mania since 20. We were outdoors. You kind of, you know, been all day party, all weekend party, went to the Hall of Fame. You know, I was buzzing ROH. And so, I mean, nothing really bored me that weekend. But going back and watching, do I want to rewatch that match? No, I'm good. I'm good living off my memory of Triple H and Brock Lesnar.
And this is kind of like CM Punk's WrestleMania highlight, right?
Oh, yeah. And... No, there's no brainer. I mean... I think some of the matches are okay, like the opener, and then I actually like Del Rio Swagger, but I'm one of the few, I think, that liked that Del Rio face title run. The Cena rocked. I mean, Taker Punk to me is the obvious choice. It was a really great match.
Right. So then if we're going to do that, then you got to take out the 25. You know, I think we're going to have to do Jericho versus Snuka, Piper, and Steamboat, right?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think there's another path we could maybe do, but I think we should.
And then Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair and Flair's final match.
Yep, we'll go with that one.
Okay. So 30.
30. You thinking a little Daniel Bryan, Triple H?
This is where I'm going to do Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. There's no title at stake, right?
Yep. So the only thing I wasn't sure of is if your title match was going to be this one or the next year, but I figured this is the way you were going, because this is why we get two great matches in.
Well, the thing with Daniel Bryan versus Triple H is you get Triple H, by all accounts, he's a big star. You know, I think he's dog shit. But you get Daniel Bryan in to prove that he is a miracle worker, can get a good match out of a shitty wrestler like Triple H. But you don't have to have the title on the line.
Right. And it's one of the – I mean, it's arguably 1B in WrestleMania openers after Bret and Owen. So, you know, you're getting the second best Mania opener.
I think maybe we should watch those back-to-back sometime, because I don't even know if Bret Owen holds that title. Yeah.
All right. We'll have to check it out. I mean, it's 25 minutes, Brian Triple H, so that fits right in our half-hour window. So maybe we'll live. Yeah. Maybe we'll do that WrestleMania week. How about that? We'll book it now. Live watch Daniel Bryan Triple H.
I like it.
All right.
And 31, you know where we're going with that one.
That's our title match, baby. Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns.
Has to be, right? One of the greatest title matches, if not main events, in WrestleMania history, for my money.
Yeah, I mean, the only other match on the card, maybe the opening IC title, but we already got Bryan anyway.
But even that's not even like the best ladder match in WrestleMania history.
I mean, Cena Rusev is fun just for the tank.
Cena Rusev was awesome, but there's no way you're going to put Cena Rusev on instead of Cena Rock.
Nope. So right? the only problem is we don't have a tag title match and we don't have an undercard title match if we want to keep to that.
To be honest, like I said, I mean,
they don't use them anyway. Yeah.
They don't respect those undercard titles on these shows.
Yeah, it's hard to commit to that during this run. If we were doing every Mania, you know, if we were doing all 31, I'd say we have to use both. But, I mean, I think you're right.
Well, how much time do we have left, Dan?
We got 15 or so.
14 minutes.
Yeah, we got a lot of
time. All right. It's fine. Well, let's go back.
Yep.
So, in number 23, okay, I'm looking.
Well, 22, we got a tag title match.
Oh, sorry. 22.
And, Yep.
We have a U.S. title match with JBL and Benoit. We're not using Benoit in my WrestleMania ever. Yeah. Okay. What's the tag title match?
Big Show and Kane against Carlito and Masters.
Yeah, really?
No, come I'm on. Just saying, though. It's there. You know,
yeah,
it's there.
But it's garbage. And then we got MVP versus Benoit 23, okay, for U.S. title.
I liked Fairview, too, but that is
I did too, but I liked it before he killed his family.
Right. Oh, yeah. I can do the Benoit thing, but this is, if there's a stretch where I don't like watching or I can't really watch, it's this stretch of 07 before that happened. Like, he looks like just, you can tell he's on the ramp.
Look, they don't even have a tag title match on that show.
No IC title match either.
Yeah. So, I mean, then I'm looking at 24.
Nothing there.
They have an ECW title. I mean, do you see the tag titles anywhere?
Nope, nothing there.
No. Yeah. The next year, tag titles.
Nope. And they had Ray, JBL, and the throwaway IC title match.
Yeah. So, I mean, I am perfectly fine not doing it. So, how about this, JR? Let's order this the way we would order it for our show.
Yep.
Let's do it. And also, if we have time, let's go through kind of these Hall of Fames.
Oh, yeah.
And see which Hall of Fame from these 10 years we would use for our show.
Okay. And let's pick an arena, too. What's the best kind of ambiance of all these domes? We'll pick that, too.
Yeah, sure. So let's go first with the order of the matches.
Okay. Dan, do you have them typed out? Can you throw them in the Skype here?
I have them typed up.
If you can paste them in, that'd be helpful.
So I'm thinking that we go with a match that did open, and that's Daniel Bryan versus Triple H opens our show. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't see why not. It makes sense to me. So like we said, it's arguably the greatest opener ever. So.
Okay. So you do that. Then I would – okay, so you have the greatest opener ever. Then I'm going to go with the Legends match.
How about Cody? I feel like Cody –
no, because Cody Ray is going to die after following that match, whereas the crowd is still going to be appreciative of the Legends.
Yeah.
Do you see where I'm working?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I was thinking I didn't want them burnt out for the Legends. I want the Legends to get a nice pop. I don't want them going to take piss because they needed it.
Well, I think because they are Legends, they're going to get the pop. Plus, it was more of a fun match anyway. Then I would go Rey Mysterio and Cody. Okay? All right? Are you with me so far?
I'm with you.
Then I would go I think we're going to go – well, I don't know. Money in the Bank – since it wasn't a lot of marquee names, right? It was Kane. It was who else was in that Money in the Bank?
It was this is from 26, right? 26. Swagger, Benjamin, Evan Bourne, Christian, Matt Hardy, Kane, Kofi Kingston, MVP, Drew McIntyre, and Dolph Ziggler.
Right, so people are going to be excited for that, but they're not going to be burnt out or anything, you know. And it's not going to overshadow stuff that comes after.
Right, and so at this point, what it sets us up for, which is perfectly fine, is we're going to have an unbelievable stack of matches that we get to hack through, which will be fun to say rank these matches from. You know, we're just building building, you know.
Well, after Money in the Bank, I think you then go into Flair's retirement match. What do you think?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to do the hardcore match before the Flair retirement match.
Right. You don't want the two kind of bumpy matches back to back anyway.
The what matches?
Like bump, you know, heavy bumps and high spot. You know, you get the Money in the Bank with all the crazy ladder bumps, and then you go
right
to the hardcore match. You don't want that.
Then you go, I think after that, then you go Lashley versus Umaga, right? Because you're going to have Vince out there and Trump, so they're going to hype up the hype machine. They're going to generate the heat, right?
Yeah. So let me ask you one quick question: are you a believer of the world title match having to go last?
No.
Okay.
In the sense that I think that's like a myth.
Right.
Do you understand where I'm? It's mythical. Oh, the world title is the most important thing.
Right. Because Cena Rock is clearly the biggest match.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Let's pencil that in as our main event then.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was going Bobby Lashley versus Umaga.
Yep.
Then Edge versus Foley in the hardcore match. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going Undertaker versus CM Punk.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, follow that. Well, okay. Well, the world title match is going to follow that. That's Lesnar versus Reigns.
Yep.
And then Rock versus Cena. I was there for that Rock versus Cena. That felt like the most incredible moment of all time.
Yeah. Now, that has to be last. I mean, it's arguably, like I said, one of the top. You know, looking at it, where do you rank it? And we can take a minute here to talk about this. I think we're pretty much set with the order. Where do you rank that as far as, like, the big-time money mania match? You know, you've got Hogan-Andre, you got Hogan-Warrior, Hogan-Rock, Cena-Rock. Is that your top four? Do you have anything else in that category?
I would not put Hogan-Warrior in that category.
No? You think it's, like, a tier right below?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's in that tier at all. I mean, wrestling was already on its way down by that point.
Yeah, but didn't they do a really big number for it? I feel like it almost like was a blip on the life support machine. Like, that was a big time build and a big time match. I mean, it's like a poor man's Hogan Andre, I guess. So I'm fine saying it's like a slight tier below those other ones. I would say
Hogan Andre and Rock Cena for sure.
Where do you put Hogan Rock?
I don't think it did that well, did it? Oh, we're forgetting Rock Austin from 17, bro.
Right, that too. See, that takes a little sting out as far as like a big... I mean, it was. That they had already fought before. I guess when I think big money...
Doesn't
mania,
matter, man. That was the build. It was the biggest WrestleMania at the time. It was
I put it below these other ones, though. I put it below Hogan-Andre.
Not at all. Not at all.
You don't put it below Hogan-Andre?
Because you got to think about it. When they fought the first time, right? Which was what? WrestleMania
15. They fought every 2 years. 15, 17, 19.
So 15, it was really hot wrestling star Austin versus wrestling heel Rock. By 17, it was two of the biggest drawing wrestlers of all time, megastar Steve Austin versus megastar The Rock.
Where do you put, you rank that above Hogan Andre, though?
No, I didn't say that. Okay. I said it's in the same tier.
Right. So Hogan Andre is number one, right? Do we agree on that?
I think so.
All right. So now it comes down to Austin Rock, Cena Rock, and I think Hogan Rock is in the category.
No way, man. The reaction that Hogan Rock got was phenomenal. There was nothing in the build that said, hey, this is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
This is going to be a moment. There was nothing in it.
It was a big deal, though. Hogan's first WrestleMania match since WrestleMania 9.
It was not a big deal because the ratings were down. The buy rates were down.
1.68 buy.
It was still down.
Yeah.
And wrestling was on its way down.
So what do you argue with Cena Rock, though? Wasn't 08 down?
08.
I mean, 2012?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It's just I know that it was the biggest WrestleMania of all time at that point.
28?
Yeah. Wasn't it? It was the first Cena Rock. It was, like, huge.
Yeah, it was huge.
5 minutes, guys. 5 minutes.
All right. Well, let's look at the Hall of Fames.
Yep. What are you going to look at?
Oh, you don't have them in front of you?
No. So we went with Daniel Bryan, Triple H reopened. And then we had Chris Jericho versus Piper, Steamboat, and Snuka. Then we did our Cody Rhodes versus Rey Mysterio, Money in the Bank. And then we went into Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair. And then we went Bobby Lashley versus Umaga with Trump and McMahon, the hair versus hair. And then we come out firing with Edge versus Mick Foley in the hardcore match, followed by Undertaker, CM Punk, and that goes into a world title match, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, and then we close out with Rock versus John Cena from 28.
Okay. Well, I found the Hall of Fames.
Okay.
So, at 22, we got Tony Atlas, Vern Gagne, Eddie Guerrero, Bret Hart, the Blackjacks, Sherry Martel, Gene Okerlund, and William Perry. I say I love Eddie and Brett, but I'm going to pass on this one.
Right. Yes.
You agree?
Yep. Plus, Brett was, I mean, it was cool seeing Brett back, but he was still kind of bitter. Remember, he no-showed the next day. He went home, and I don't know. That kind of soured a bit.
I'll remember that.
Yeah. He wasn't, like, fully. He did the Hall of Fame, and then, because, remember, they were trying to get him to play a role in the Cena, in the Shawn Vince match, and he didn't. And then he said, I'll do the Hall of Fame, and I'm flying home, blah, blah, blah. So, anyway, that took a little piss
off. Let's move on. Let's move on.
All right, all
right. All right, next. In 2007, Nick Bockwinkel, Mr. Fuji, Kurt Hennig, Jerry Lawler, Dusty Rhodes, Jim Ross, The Sheik, and the Samoans. This is in contention, man.
Really strong class.
I mean, Bock, Dusty, Lawler, Jim Ross, and of course, Kurt Hennig. Yeah, I mean, that's really, let's keep that one in consideration.
Yep.
24. 24 had the Briscoes, Rocky Johnson, Peter Maivia, Gordon Solie, Mae Young, Eddie Graham, and Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Ric Flair?
Yeah. Big headliner, but soft underbelly.
Yeah, no. I mean, Ric Flair, huge, but I would not pick this as mine.
Right. This next one's pretty good.
What's the next one?
So we got the Funk Brothers, Terry and Dory. We got Coco Beware.
Oh, that's
Beware.
When they timed their
speeches.
Their speeches, yeah.
Coco, Bill Watts, Steve Austin, Ricky Steamboat, Howard Finkel, and then the Von Erichs. So, I mean, that's a pretty strong class. The Funks, the Von Erichs.
It's a strong class, but it was a horrible Hall of Fame because of the time speeches.
All right, so we actually
And remember, Austin didn't even have a good speech.
Right. Well, all right. I don't know if we were factoring the ceremony in or just the class. I mean, as far as classes go, it's arguably, it's right up there.
It's a really great class, but yeah, we'll keep it in consideration. You got that, Dan?
All right. This next one is a little shaky. Stu Hart, Ted DiBiase, Gorgeous George, Bob Uecker, Mad Dog Vachon, Wendy Richter, and Antonio Inoki.
No chance in hell.
Right. All right. 27, we got Abdullah, Sonny, the Road Warriors, and Paul Ellering, Drew Carey, Bob Armstrong, Jim Duggan, and Shawn Michaels.
Besides the Road Warriors and Abby, I don't care about and Bob Armstrong. I mean, I like the class. It doesn't beat Dusty Lawler and that class and Nick Bockwinkel.
All right, this one's not bad. I don't think it contends, though. Edge, the Four Horsemen as a group, Mil Máscaras, Ron Simmons, Mike Tyson, and Yokozuna.
I don't consider it above those either.
All right, here's the one
Edge,
I think
Edge was the headliner. That was the problem.
Here's the one I think that could maybe give a little bit of a run because it was an awesome ceremony. That's Mick Foley, Trish Stratus, Booker T, Donald Trump, Bob Backlund, and Bruno. And I mean, Bruno's speech was tremendous. Bob's was really good. Foley's was really good. You know, Trish's was memorable.
If you say Donald Trump had,
he did a quick one. Remember, he kind of understood the moment. Like he didn't linger. He was out there for quick. And Vince is pretty funny inducting him. But memorable because it is Trump. So I think he's the biggest celebrity to go in.
I agree with you that it was a great Hall of Fame, but I wouldn't. I mean, we can put it into consideration, but I still don't think it beats Lawler, Bock, and Dusty.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it even beats the Austin one, but I think it's a top three for the ones we have.
Okay. Next, Lita, Jake, Mr. T, Paul Bearer, Scott Hall, Carlos Colon, and Ultimate Warrior. No way in hell. No.
It was one of the most fun.
It was the most fun because it was the first one we got to see on the network.
Well, Anna had all the redemption stories, like Jake, Hall, Warrior. Like, it was fun from that perspective.
I don't get aside from that stuff.
Yeah, but still, it was a nice story of the guys that all kind of made their comebacks. It was a fun show.
How did Warrior's comeback end up? He died 2 days later.
Isn't that amazing? I can't even rationalize that in my head to this day. After all those years, he comes back. He's on Hall of Fame, and then he dies.
Hold on. Let's get the last one in because I feel like we're running out of time. Savage, Nash, the Bushwhackers. We should throw the Bushwhackers in with whichever year we choose. Blaze, Zabisco, Rikishi, Fujinami, and Arnold and Connor McCalick.
Yeah, funny one. Zabisco hiding in the bushes. that's the biggest takeaway from that one.
That's good.
All right, I'd say if I'm ranking them, I go the Dusty one, then the Austin one, and then 29 are the top three.
It's 29, the Bruno one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would call that second behind the...
You think it's better than the Austin Funks and Von Erichs?
Well, yeah, because that was a bad show.
Oh, okay. How about from pure class perspective, though?
I still go number one with the Lawler one.
I know, the other two, I mean. just from a pure class.
Well, it depends on what you value. Like, if you value Bruno and Bob Backlund, you know what I mean?
Right.
More than, like, say, the Funks and the Von Erichs, then you go there. But, I mean, I'm a Southern guy at heart, so I'd go the Austin one.
I mean, Austin.
All right, fellas, your time is up.
Austin's our biggest star, so.
All right. Time's up. Let's move on.
We're back in the saddle. Felt good. You know, we got one under the belt. It's like hitting that first home run of the season, kind of. Bang that out, and you're ready to move along into our next at bat. So we're going to go ahead, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll be on to challenge number two.
Welcome to my house. Baby, take control now. We can't even slow down. We don't have to go a while.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner, at least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and placetobenation.com. You can check out Scott Criscullo and me on the Mothership, The Place to Be Podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Main Event, Mission Indie Possible, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. And relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series, led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We got sports covered too with the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., the Kings of Sport, led by Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast and the TJ McClune Show. PTBN tackles pop culture and irreverence with Richard and the Mailman, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, and if you like a hybrid of all of this in list form, check out Jordan Duncan's Rank and File. All of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. We want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You ready, Mace?
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time
for us to Yeah, what you know about going out, head west, red legs, TVs, all up in the headrest. Try and live it up, ride jewel, bigger truck, feet all glittered up, stick a kid, make a what? Jig with a cut, sip crisp, spit it up.
All right, we are back here, episode number 18 of the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast. We do have one game in the books that was our Building the Ultimate WrestleMania card for the last 10 Manias. And Dan, I'm wondering if we're going to keep the Mania theme going. Do we keep the... You know, St. Paddy's Day going. What do we got? What do we got in the bag of tricks?
If I could turn back time, if I could find a way, I'd take back those words that are hurt.
Guys, I think because it's been a long time, we kind of missed Valentine's Day, and the thing about it is we talk about getting together. Well, what if two people didn't get together? That's why we're going to play What If, and this time around, we are picking Triple H. What if he never married Stephanie McMahon, never even fell in love with her, never even dated, nothing? What if that relationship never existed?
Okay, so we should clarify, we're not breaking up any marriages. They just never found that love connection. So I guess what we'll say is, Will, is that they were never paired together on TV. Okay? So the McMahon-Helmsley coalition never happens, and they're not hanging out all the time.
Sure, why not?
So they don't fall in love. So we're basically headed back to the fall of 99, and that's going to be our starting point. Stephanie is on TV doing the test stuff. Triple H is beginning his ascent into the main event picture, which happens, obviously, before they started hooking up. So that's already in the plans. So the question here is, where does he head into 2000? Obviously, I think we still get the Mick Foley putting him over for three shows. I think he still tussles with The Rock. I don't think Triple H's trajectory changes much, at least until Austin comes back at the end of 2000. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Now, do you think, do you still have him in the feud with Vince and Stephanie's not part of it, or do we get someone else in that feud with Vince?
Here's what I'm thinking, man. I'm thinking that Triple H, without Stephanie and the power, the political power, he never ascends to like the game status, right? Never. So if you look at the roster at the time, I think Vince is going to go with Rock over Triple H every day of the week, right? Without, you know, daddy's little girl being happy or whatever.
Yeah, but see, my question is, when does that influence come in? When did he decide he was pushing Triple H because of Stephanie and not because he liked him? Because I feel like we're in a gray area in 2000 when he's trading wins with the Rock.
I think once he paired him up with his daughter on TV, I think you started to see the manifestation of that. Because you didn't see in 98, like, Triple H would win matches, but he wasn't dominating his competition. In 99, he was in, like, DX feuds with other ex-DX members.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I guess, and do you think he's like a chicken shit heel? Do you think he still gets title reigns, but he's begging off more and just kind of trades it off and on more?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's still playing political games, right?
Yeah.
He's still sneaking behind people's backs.
Yeah,
but,
because, I mean, he still had the Shawn Michaels click kind of legacy, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's still getting in Vince's ear. But he's not his son-in-law. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or he's not, you know, Stephanie's boyfriend. And remember, eventually Stephanie's going to gain power as a member of the creative team, right? So is Stephanie going to be, is she going to feel compelled to put Triple H ahead of, like, her own personal pet projects?
I mean, I'd say no. I think he becomes a guy that hangs around in the mix. I think he's a guy that once he kind of gets that main event, I mean, does he become a Chris Jericho? You know, where he's a guy that could be heated up when they need him, and otherwise he's just kind of in the mid-card. Or upper mid-card.
No, because I think politically he's smarter than Chris Jericho.
So you think he's able to hang up in the upper card a bit more?
I think if Shawn Michaels comes back, him and Shawn Michaels start conniving, get in Vince's ear again, right? Except not as family members.
So where does the political fight continue? So they get in Vince's ear, but what wasn't around the last time they were in Vince's ear was Stephanie and whoever she's with now, right? Like, that power struggle wasn't in place. It was pretty much them running roughshod over Vince in 95. So where does that clash happen?
And does Triple H align himself with someone who just recently returned to TV, Shane McMahon?
Right.
You know, because Shane's still active in the company at this time, right?
Yep.
So yeah, maybe he aligns with Shane. Three.
Yeah. Well, then he comes back too. Yeah. He's with the company till what, like 2009 or 10 or something like that.
You know, I think he's going to. I think you're going to see actually even more political maneuvering. You know, but it's not
the two camps, you know.
Right. Like, is Triple H going to be able to attend all of the booking meetings, right?
Well, he was anyway, so probably. But does he get booted at some
point? Well, hold on. When did he start?
I want to say he was there in the click days, I think. And then I think he was pretty much in and out since. Like, I think even 99 he was kind of involved heavily in that process. I'm pretty sure him and Sean were in on the sitting in the creative meetings with the – in the click days.
I didn't know it was him and Sean. I know it was Sean, but not him and Sean.
I thought so.
Plus, they didn't even have like a creative team. It was like,
right, yeah.
Vince, Russo, Ferrara, and Pat Patterson. Or, you know,
right.
Jim
so when did the full team kick in? 2000 when Stephanie took over from Kresge?
I thought it was like maybe 2000. Like, you know, when they had who's that guy that edging?
Yeah, Gewirtz, yeah.
Words and
well, Kresge was the main guy for a year. He was 99 to 2000. He's the guy that always gets all the love for storyboarding everything and having everything written out.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But he left in the fall of 2000 when Stephanie got promoted. That's when she took over. It's pretty much you can pinpoint it to where the love triangle ends, and she stays with Triple H. I mean, that's really it. It's the fall of 2000 is when she took over, and it kind of coincides with their initial descent in ratings and popularity too. Whether it's coincidental or directly correlated, whatever, but, you know, that's where everything kind of went down. So you figure she rises to power and the creative team around the same time, late 2000. What we haven't touched on yet really is, you know, does she find love elsewhere? Does she, you know, her and Kurt Angle were closely tied in storyline. Do they, you know, start hooking up? You know, does Jericho
come
in?
I think Angle was already married.
Yeah, but whatever. We've seen that it doesn't stop him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was wholesome, I guess, at that point. I don't know if he was the drugged out stalker he became.
I think it would probably be somebody who hooked up with, like, other divas. Someone like a Test or a Billy Kidman or, you know what I mean?
That'd be awesome if Billy Kidman became, like, the big power broker in WWE. Yeah, I mean, her and Jericho always had some good chemistry and sexual tension, but Jericho was married, too, and I don't know if he had his kid yet by that point, but...
She doesn't seem like she would be, like, Jericho's type. I think Jericho likes, like, the 80s hair metal blondes.
Yeah. She's, from all accounts, a pretty big party girl, so she might have bought right in.
That's Savage, not somebody you marry.
Does Savage come back and hook up, you know? Rekindle the love?
Well, you know someone whose trajectory really changes is China.
Yes.
Because does China still maintain her standing with the company? She doesn't get into all the drug issues or whatever, you know, if Hunter can help keep her sober or something, all right?
Yeah, I mean, do they stay together?
She never does One Night in China with Waltman.
All right, I mean, they may never, you know, they may never break up. I mean, I don't, you know, they just may never, do they stay together forever? You know, if they do break up, you know, is it not as slimy? You know what I mean? Is he not, you know, sleeping up behind her back with the boss's daughter? So even if they do break up and she does leave on a little bit better terms, yeah, her whole life may be completely different.
Is that really the rumor that Stephanie was a party girl?
I mean, you know, I guess it was.
Oh, I mean, no. Who said that? Like,
I've read it. I don't know exactly where, but I there's stories out there in her teens and 20s that she was, you know, a little crazy.
I've never heard that before. I've never heard anyone make that accusation, that insinuation. I'm not saying you're lying. I'm by any means. I'm just. Like, where did that come from?
I don't know where. I know I've seen it along the way, and it may be wrong. Could be anecdotal bullshit. Who knows? But, I mean, whatever. I mean, any rich, I mean, you could piece it together, right? Any rich 19 or 20-year-old is, you know, probably going to, you know, be a little fun-loving anyway. So, whatever.
I was a poor 19-year-old fun-loving guy.
There you go. See, you were doing. Imagine if you had money, what you would have been doing.
I'd be dead.
Well, anyway. So, all right. So let's say China's in a good place, right? She's on a Legends deal now these days. So she's in a good place. We've saved her. We've saved X-Pac the humiliation of having sex with her on tape. So that's good. We've helped him greatly.
He never shows up on the Surreal Life.
Right. Neither of them do.
Beck drunk. Yeah. She's not on that with, that little midget dude from, Austin Powers, Mini-Me, Vern Troyer, with China. Let's see. What else?
Heyday of reality TV.
So okay. So how does creative change? Does Stephanie still go? Because does she still go where like they hire 17 different writers and everything's pre-scripted? Like, do you think that stays the same?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Triple H had anything to do with that. I think she still rises to power. I mean, that's, you know, that's something else you've kind of heard before in you know, different books and publications, that Vince always kind of had Shane and Stephanie on track to work for the company, right? I mean, they went to school, they got their degrees, and the idea was that Shane would play a role and Stephanie would play a role.
But hold on. With Triple H, he's teaching Steph, I mean, you know, he's banging her, but then he's teaching her the business, right? He's teaching her the political, you know, maneuvering that would take place, right? So without Triple H, does she go that far?
Yeah, because I think she wanted it. Maybe it takes a little longer to wise up. Maybe it depends on who she ends up hooking up with. But I think she wanted that role. I mean, she got it pretty quickly. They weren't together. They were together like 8 months. I mean, you didn't know that they were going to get married at that point. So even if they're together and hooking up, I mean, she's still taking on this job and this role. So I think it's...
But once again, her boyfriend is Triple H, right? Who is teaching her the political maneuverings it takes to stay on top? Who's basically...
Well, it's her family's company. You think Vince is going to push her out the door?
No. But what I'm saying, remember, her and Shane are jockeying for position, right? They went from where they were supposed to be equals to where Stephanie was clearly the alpha and Shane was the beta. Right.
Well, I think it came down to what their preferences were. I mean, I thought Shane was always kind of targeted more to be like kind of Linda's successor, more of like the business CEO, you know, media, digital. And Stephanie was always pegged as like the creative guy. No, I thought she was more of like the daddy's.
Ever Shane's intention. I think Shane thought it goes from Vince to me. Like, I think Shane at this point in his life, at that age, probably thought he would be VP of WWE, you know, or whatever title you want to bestow upon him. I don't think it was ever the intention, except for the fact that daddy's little girl came by and politically outmaneuvered him and had somebody with a, you know, I don't know how good of a wrestling mind he has, but somebody with a wrestling mind to back her up. Whereas from all reports, Shane McMahon wanted to like put the world title on test and had horrible creative ideas that everybody laughed at.
Right. I mean, I think she was always pegged more for that side of the business. She was the daddy's girl. I think she was always kind of his, in his mind, the number one for that. I think Shane was pegged to be, yes, maybe the successor to Vince. I think more from a company perspective, to run the show, to be the big head honcho, but not necessarily down in the, you know, booking creative department. I think Stephanie was always more set.
Just according to ex-writers, like if you listen to like ex-writers talk on their podcast or like on previous interviews, that no, Shane did have a creative input, but it was all horrible. Like, it wasn't like he was just pegged to do business shit. It was just the idea that his idea sucked so bad that they kind of pushed him out of the creative side.
I think Stephanie was always Vince's daddy's girl.
I think you're wrong just based on people who worked with the company.
I'm not saying Shane can have no creative. I mean, Vince has input. I just think I think Stephanie was always in a position to maybe take on that role because she was Vince's little girl. That's my thought. I think she was being groomed for something in that line of business. So it's not a shock to me that she became like the main creative person. Now,
Undertaker can powerbomb them all off my TV screen, I don't care.
I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, she was going to be the heir and to the CEO like they are now. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying her role as head of creative, I don't think is that far-fetched without Triple H. I don't know. I don't think she gets to this point where right now she's like the heir apparent. Her and Triple H are going to like run the company.
Yeah.
I don't think she gets to that point. But I do think she's
I don't even think she gets the creative point without Triple H. Because I think it's a lot easier to promote her to creative if you know that if Vince knows that Triple H is right there by her side as a guy he trusts creatively. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. So, I feel like it seems like she was on that track in that year anyway. I mean, and like I said, it's like they had been together 5-6 years. I mean, they were only together, and half of it was undercover. I mean, I don't know if anyone even knew at that point, right? I mean, when did, like, China and everyone find out? It was like mid-2000, right, that it came out that they were really together? Like, it was a while. It wasn't immediate.
All right. Well, I think we're beating a dead horse here.
Yeah.
Because of your insistence that she actually had any credibility at all, which she didn't.
I'm not saying she had credibility. Vince isn't about credibility. He doesn't give a fuck. It's his little girl.
Okay, whatever. Now, what about the storylines? Okay, so we have Triple H drugging Steph. She's going to marry Test. Do you think that still happens? Or are we saying that can't happen?
No, I think that can't. They can't be together. So if you want to put Triple H as the main event heel, I think if you line them and they're spending all this time together and they're noodling up, they're probably going to hook up. It's just the way the wrestling business goes. So it's a real stretch to me in a fantasy perspective to say they follow the same exact storyline of them being married and that they don't get together at some point. Because nothing's tying them down, really. So
where do you go?
All right. So I say we just eschew the wedding stuff. We don't do that at all. I say we do the original, whatever the hell the original plan was before Vince Russo left. It was a bulldog knocks her out or wherever the hell the thing was. Or we just don't do the wedding.
What was the original plan?
Well, it was Test. What the hell was the original plan? I know bulldog knocking her out with the trash can was to buy them time after Vince left.
I remember that.
Yeah. I don't remember what the original plan was. I don't think it was Triple H, though, originally. Either way, just say we don't do the wedding then. Her and Test is date on screen for a little bit and then whatever. So if we want to get her involved.
Well, I'm saying is this propelled Triple H to the main event scene is kind of like the alpha of TV every week. So what's going to take the place of that?
He's Vince's corporate guy. That's it. I mean, I think he just becomes Vince's new number one guy. So Vince goes away from Undertaker. Triple H works his way up the card. And then Vince comes back and screws The Rock the same. We just drop the whole 2 months of Vince fighting Triple H thing.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So we don't do the Triple H and
here's what I do.
Street fight.
Oh, I do with Mick. So here's what I do. So Stephanie's not in the mix. You have, in the fall, Vince doesn't come back and do the whole thing where he defends Linda from, you know, all that shit. Shane steps up to the plate because, remember, now he's friends with Test. And Triple H just starts messing with Test, and he's messing with Stephanie, too. So Shane steps up for the family, and they're having a power struggle. Triple H wants to take over the company, be the champion. Shane's, no, this is my company now. I'm the guy. Vince is gone. And they fight. They do the match at Armageddon, and Triple H beats Shane. So now he becomes the main guy. Vince comes back before WrestleMania like he does anyway. You think he's going to help The Rock and, you know, help Shane with The Rock. And then Vince turns and goes to Triple H and makes him his time, makes him his guy. So he doesn't know Stephanie involved. But he's Vince's ace. He's Vince's number one heel. And he gets there by defeating Mick Foley, retiring Mick Foley, and by beating the shit out of Shane McMahon and becoming Vince's new son. He can still become Vince's new son because he murdered Shane.
Oh, Vince's new son.
There you go. He murders Shane.
And then he can't fuck Stephanie because that would be like fucking his sister.
There you go. So you're my son. Stay away from my daughter. You know, that's what we do. So there you go. So we entered 2000 with Triple H and Vince's buddies.
That's how we end 2000, right?
We enter 2000. Well, mid-2000. At WrestleMania 16, we do the same thing. Triple H beats Rock with help from Vince. So he's established.
And so Triple H through 2000. All right, so now do we do a love triangle with Kurt Angle, or do we just put Kurt Angle with Stephanie McMahon?
There you go. Kurt Angle is with Stephanie McMahon. He comes in. She's got the hots for him. She leaves Test to Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle taps Test out with an ankle lock at WrestleMania, and he wins Stephanie's affection.
There you go. And then we'll have Kurt Angle and Chris Jericho.
Yes, you can still do that.
Feuding,
yep.
Because Kurt Angle will be the heel with his dastardly chick. Chris Jericho can still call her a filthy whore and continue that track, right?
Yep, and this is where you build. So now you're not doing the love triangle per se, but Angle starts schmoozing up to Vince throughout 2000. Now he wants to be the main guy. He's already got the girl. He's, you know, looking for the title. And now you do the Triple H face turn that never happened in the fall because he didn't want to break up with Stephanie on screen and look emasculated. So Vince dumps Triple H in favor of Kurt Angle, and that's your big hot program.
Oh, so you're still putting Triple H and Kurt Angle together?
Yeah, but now it's with Angle as a heel, with Stephanie as his girlfriend, with Vince as the, you know, father that turns his back on Triple H. You're out.
Oh.
You're out of the family. Shane, because you lost to The Rock, you suck, and Kurt Angle is going to beat The Rock. You're out. And then Triple H does the face turn that everyone wanted in the fall.
Okay, so then how do we get Austin back when Rikishi put...
Well, I say I don't have Triple H be the guy in the car. Triple H was, like, ready to be a face in that fall. The crowd, like, loved him. Like, that was the time to turn him, and they didn't do it. So I think you do it there, and you have Austin comes back, and you have someone else ran him over, whoever, Vince.
Probably because he's, like, a naturally unlikable guy in real life.
Triple H?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying they wanted him to be a face. If he's unlikable, they want him to be a heel.
No, but I'm saying, like, that's why he probably never turned face, because he was just so unlikable.
Well, no, the reason was he didn't want to look like a bitch by having Kurt Angle take his woman, so he beat him and kept Stephanie. that was the reasoning. And I don't think that happens if him and Stephanie don't have the power, you know what I mean, together.
Right.
She's going to say, fuck you, turn, and I'm with Kurt. Like, that's just what the story would be. And then you bring Austin back, and, you know, you don't need Austin as the... Him and Triple H can coexist as the faces, and then you turn one of them after Mania. You still do Austin Rock as your big money match. Maybe you blow off Triple H Angle at Mania if Triple H get the win.
10 minutes, guys. 10 minutes.
Okay, I still want him to tear his quad.
Okay, he can still tear his quad. Take some time off. So let me ask you this. We got about 10 minutes left. How does he taper off? Does he stay? Is he such a loyalist that he never goes anywhere? I mean, there's no WCW. He's not going to go to TNA. He's too proud of his legacy. So where does he just taper off like he did in real life now? Is he on a Legends deal? Does he hang around as a creative guy? Like, what is his ultimate path?
Well, I think that, you know, here's a guy that by all accounts doesn't drink, doesn't do drugs, right? Doesn't get fucked up.
Right.
Okay. So here's a guy that I think Vince still sees as somebody he can trust, right? So if he gets older, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So he doesn't hook up with Stephanie, but he gets like the agent role, right? But also a creative, a seat at the creative table. And he becomes, in real life, the wrestling son that Vince never has.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's fair. The only question is, does he do something to piss off Vince at some point? Whereas now, if he did it, he's okay still, kind of. But does something happen along the line that makes him expendable? Which is entirely possible during that timeline.
Well, yeah, but it was entirely possible before. I mean, he did piss off Vince by doing the curtain call. And then 5 years later, he's calling him dad.
Yeah, I know. But stuff could happen. I'm saying it's more likely to happen that it's more likely that Vince could axe him and turf him if he's not married to his daughter. You know what I mean?
Well, here's what I think does not happen. We don't sit through 2 years of horrible TV that deals with the authority. Right?
Definitely not. No, he's not in this role. That's for sure. I don't.
Okay. We don't. Do we have? What about NXT? Do we have NXT?
Yeah, Steve Kern's running it. not Triple H. I don't think Triple H is running it.
FCW, right? Still FCW.
If there is a developmental Triple H, maybe like a lead trainer, I don't think he's running the show.
Oh, this political mastermind, Triple H, you think that by this time in real life that he's fallen out of all political power?
I'm not saying he fell out of it. I don't think he has the heavy sway. Because we haven't even talked about, does Stephanie marry someone else that ends up swaying things? You know, does Cena, who is very politically minded, does Rock never get as pissed off? Because part of the reason Rock was pissed off is, remember the way Triple H was doing shit when he, you know, Rock beat Hurricane and then, or Hurricane, he put over Hurricane and then Triple H squashed him. Remember, he got all pissed off and they cut that promo where Triple H kind of mocked Rock and there's always that jealousy. Was Triple H in Vince's ear to tell him, hey, don't worry about The Rock and let him go? You know, does Rock end up being more with the company during those mid-2000s because Triple H isn't in power as much?
Maybe, man, but you know Rock was going to become such a big star.
Well, I'm not saying he stays full-time, but remember, he was persona non grata for like three or four years because he let his contract expire and walked away and said, screw you, because he was, you know, he didn't like the way shit was being done with Triple H and the tension there. Remember, because he had the issue.
Well, was
Sean
it only Triple H, or you know?
Well, Sean too. I mean, it might have been Vince, but you know, Vince is the type too that gets swayed. So if Triple H is in his ear and you know, well, fuck The Rock, you know, we don't need him, kind of thing. Would he have had that same mentality without Triple H being in the position of power he was in?
I don't know. Does Triple H still put over like Batista? Do we have a DX reunion, like where they have like those little green glow-in-the-dark sticks?
I think we get more of the DX stuff because he needs something to do. Because he's not, I don't think he's dominating the title picture as steadily. I think you're overlooking the fact that his wife is the main booker. And that, I mean, even if he has the political ear,
see I always look at him. I don't think Triple H is one to let Stephanie like dominate him. You know what I mean? I really don't. Like, even in that time period, I don't, and this goes back to our argument we had originally. I don't think Stephanie's that powerful, bro. I think that she doesn't have,
You think he's the head booker? Like, I don't think he gets.
No,
that.
I think Triple H gets what he wants, and he puts things in people's ears that make sure he gets what he wants. I don't think that, you know, Stephanie.
Yeah, but you said to yourself he wasn't doing that in 98 and 99, so what turns the switch?
Hold on. I didn't say that. That's not what I said.
Well, look what he did in 98 and 99. You said it yourself. He didn't win a lot of matches. He was kind of being built up because they needed a guy. Like, he wasn't dominating the picture.
No, he wasn't dominating, though. Right. But
5 minutes, guys.
Vince decided to go with him, that's who he went with, right? Like, in mid-99, it was decided he was the guy. This is long before they were together, right? And damn it, that's what they did, right?
Yeah, the guy doesn't always last if you're not banging the boss's daughter. That's my point. That his bloom is the guy. If his numbers are dipping.
But my point is, though, is that Triple H was still considered like a political mastermind.
Yeah, but is he the main?
But cop? I don't think Stephanie had the smarts or the cunning to like outplay Triple H. That's my argument.
Right, but regardless,
I think a lot of that she learned from him.
Does Triple H survive the ratings going to shit in like 02, 03, 04 when he's the guy? So if you're in your world, he's political enough that he comes back from his tour in Quad, he goes right back to the top, he gets his big win, and then they give him the world title to dominate Raw. Like, you think he still gets all that and he reigns over shit ratings for the next 3 years?
I'm not saying he gets it all, but I'm not saying –
I mean, even Shawn Michaels.
But I'm not saying he necessarily gets that kind of mega push, but I don't think he gets the blame either.
All right, so who's more political?
Even with Triple H out of the picture, when Vince wants to blame somebody for something, they find somebody to blame. Like with Daniel Bryan, right? They looked for reasons not to push. They didn't look for reasons to push him. They looked for reasons not to push him.
Yeah, but who's more political than Hulk Hogan?
I don't think it matters.
Who's more political than Hulk Hogan or Shawn Michaels?
Between the two of them?
No, just in general, right? Both of them fell out of favor and hit the bricks, regardless, right? Shawn Michaels tanked a whole year of ratings. They took the belt off him. And they went heel. They did it back. And then he was gone again. And, you know, he was, you know, kept getting drunk and whatever.
Drug problem, yes. Right.
Hulk Hogan, the biggest drawing star of all time,
yep,
fell out of favor and left. Steve Austin, the biggest, second, arguably 1-1A, biggest money guy, huge influence, top guy, made Vince into a billionaire.
Wife beating drunk, yes.
Right, and left. No, he walked out before the wife beating drunk.
No, he was already a wife beater.
Around the same time.
Even then, the point is, like, these things come out of how these guys are, right? Once again, Triple H doesn't drink, doesn't do
drugs.
Oh, how
about Hogan? He wasn't a drunk wife beater.
Hogan, cokehead from the 80s, right. Fucking...
Well, Triple H, a big guy who steroid guy.
A guy who, you know, the ratings were tanking, right? Is that your point, that the ratings were tanking with Hogan, so they got rid of Hogan?
Yeah, my point is Vince's loyalty comes because Triple H is married to Stephanie, not because he's some political genius. I think he still has some loyalty, but I think Vince is quicker to axe him if he's not drawing than he would be now.
Hold on. But like, let's look at like Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels comes back in 2002, right?
Yeah.
Sober, whatever. Basically has the run of the place till 2010.
Yeah, but I don't think it was – you think it was politically driven? He never had a title. He was never really a main event guy. He had his matches and he was featured and did what he did.
From all reports, he never had a title because he didn't want the title touring dates. Like he didn't want a champion schedule.
So you think hold on.
I don't think – that he didn't have the title because Vince didn't want to put a belt on him or because he didn't have political sway. I think it's because it's basically what Shawn Michaels wanted. I guarantee you that if Shawn Michaels said, hey, Vince, I want to run with the belt this year. I'll do the schedule. Fucking Vince would have done it in like 12 seconds.
And if the ratings sucked, you think he just let them run for years?
Yeah, they find someone else to blame it on and move on.
So you think that Vince's affinity...
Dude, the ratings... Hold on. The ratings sucked with Cena on top, with Cena below, Cena around, Cena number one merch seller, Cena not merch seller. It doesn't matter. The point is they find who they want to blame the ratings on. They find
1 minute, guys. 1 minute.
The fall guy. Look at this Roman Reigns garbage that's going on right now. For 2 years, this Roman Reigns garbage has been manifesting itself, and it doesn't matter. Why? Because they find excuses to push him the way they pushed him.
Do you think that Vince's affinity for Triple H, without him being his son-in-law, because to me, the only affinity that's like the greatest of Vince is Shawn Michaels. Like, to me, that is there's no one even close to Vince's Shawn. Like, to me, that's Vince's number one apple of his eye of all time is Shawn Michaels. Like,
and number two would be Undertaker, right? Why can't he be like Undertaker, who basically dictates what he can and will and
right,
won't
and that's
do.
What I'm asking you at this point. Is that what he's doing? Is he into semi-retirement?
That's exactly what he's doing. Yeah, that's what
right,
I'm
but,
that's what
I mean, Undertaker's not running NXT. Undertaker's not, you know, running the whole show. Like, that's what I'm saying. That was my point when we started this conversation.
Nobody tells Undertaker what to do.
Yeah, I'm not saying Triple H can't be told what to do, but I also don't think he gets to the Undertaker's level, first of all. Because I think you're overrating Vince's ties to Triple H if he doesn't marry Stephanie. I think he tires of him at some point, and I don't think he becomes the legendary status the Undertaker. I mean, Taker had, you know, as it was, he had almost, you know, whatever, six, 7 years on Triple H in the bank.
Maybe. Yeah.
All right, fellas, time is up.
Scream again.
I hope not. That's.
This is your idea, Triple H. You wanted this Triple H Love Fest.
I forgot how passionate about Triple H you were. I forgot you really love that guy.
Oh, I love him like no other. He's gonna be the picture next to me, you, and me and you at WrestleMania. It's gonna be me and Triple H from WrestleMania when he defeats Roman Reigns.
We're gonna rename Place to Be Nation Trips to Be Nation.
Triple H Nation. Political Hit Nation. All right, why don't we go ahead and take a break? We need it, and we'll come back. We'll do our third challenge of the night, and then we'll do some mail, and we'll take this puppy home. We'll be back after this. What's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation podcast network. That's the PWO PTBN podcast network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickerstaff, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the Reaction Shows with good old Will from Texas. We got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
All right, we are back here for the third and final challenge on the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast. Myself, Will, Dan McGinn. We built an Ultimate WrestleMania card for the last 10 years. We went through time and talked about what the world would be like if Triple H and Stephanie McMahon never got married. What if Dan McGinn married into the McMahon family? McGinn? I don't know. Would she have taken your name? Probably not. You'd probably be Dan McGinn McMahon. That'd be my guess. Hyphenated all the way. You know, what if Pete Gass had married Stephanie? We didn't talk about that. We heard from Pete Gass on the Kevin Kelly Show a couple weeks ago, so check that out if you didn't hear it. So with that said, usually right about now, Dan McGinn comes back in, McGinn McMahon, and gives us our third challenge.
Tell you what, I wouldn't be jumping off any scaffolding or trying to hold a big show or anything like that if I was in the McGinn family, or the McMahon family, excuse me. But guys, did you just hear that glass breaking? That means it's time for our final game, and we're going to play a little 6 degrees of separation, and who better than on 316 to talk about the man they call Stone Cold Steve Austin.
It's not only 316, it's 316-60, so there you go. It's actually been 316 all month long, but today's the extra special day, and you know, all over social media, it's kind of become a holiday, Will, 316. I see Austin memes and posters and pictures everywhere, and everyone seems to be buying in on this 316 holiday. So,
really?
Yeah.
I'm out of the loop, man. I've heard nothing.
Yeah, it's all over social media everywhere, 316 day. So it's cool to see. It's become a thing, which is neat. And like you said, you know, Steve Austin, most synonymous with the 316 and 6 degrees of separation, one of our favorite games here to do. And Steve Austin's a guy that's been up and down the road many times, many travels, and touched a lot of lives, Will. So I think we need to add a little twist into this one. We can't say for the first step that Steve Austin wrestled the guy. So if Dan gives us Triple H as a name, we got to go a little circuitous to get to his tie-in to Stone Cold. So the first step cannot be that Austin wrestled the guy. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay. All right, Dan, why don't you go ahead and throw us our first name, and we'll see what we can do here.
I'm going to pick one of your favorites, JT, and one of Will's least favorites, and that's Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Okay. That's a good one. All right, so Brutus Beefcake banged Hulk Hogan. So we have Brutus Beefcake. I'll give you the first step here, Will. He was tag team champions with Greg Valentine.
Okay. And Greg Valentine had a feud with Ron Garvin.
And Ron Garvin lost the NWA championship to to Ric Flair.
And Ric Flair was the manager of Triple H.
And Triple H and Stone Cold fought at No Way Out 2001.
Good enough.
There you go. Yeah, Flair's a good one, too, because we could have went the Booker route, but I think that's too vague to say he booked Steve Austin.
I could have even said that Flair fought Steve Austin on an episode of Raw or something.
Right, yeah. I think they had at least one or two. Well, and at that pay-per-view where he was, him and Big Show teamed up against Austin. That was a pretty fun match. That was Austin's last match before he left, before he walked out. Anyway.
Right.
What do we got, Dan?
All right, guys, next up is a man who Stone Cold idolized, I think, as he was a youngster, and that was, of course, Michael P.S. Hayes from the Sportatorium in Dallas.
Okay, I got this one, starting off with Michael P.S. Hayes. Michael P.S. Hayes was in one of the greatest country, it was like a country whipping cage match with Kerry Von Erich.
All right, and Kerry Von Erich, he won the Intercontinental Championship from Mr. Perfect.
And Mr. Perfect wrestled in Portland. I want to say, no, because we're going to go backwards here. Let's go Mr. Perfect. Oh, okay, this is easy. Defeated Bret Hart for the IC title, or did Bret Hart defeat him for the IC title?
Yeah, Bret defeated him, yep.
There you go. Done.
And, of course, Austin and Bret Hart fought at WrestleMania 13. Next.
Yeah, I would have said Bret Hart was brothers with Owen Hart, who broke Austin's leg.
Okay, anyway. We could have done that, too. All right, Dan, what's our next one?
Next one is a favorite of mine on our excellent adventure column. We just saw him in MSG, in fact. Tony Garea.
Jesus Christ. Okay, Tony Garea. Trying to piece together here. Well, he was what? Tag team champions with Rick Martel.
And Rick Martel fought Jumbo Tsuruta for the belt.
Okay.
AWA belt.
Yes, AWA belts. Jumbo Tsuruta. Jumbo Tsuruta defeated Nick Bockwinkel to win that belt.
Nick Bockwinkel had a feud with Larry Zbysko that turned Nick Bockwinkel face.
And Larry Zbysko was in the Dangerous Alliance with Steve.
Oh, set it up. Exactly.
Spiked it over the net. Good one. All right, Dan, what do we got next?
Hold on before the next one. Just curious here, JT. Out of the members of the Dangerous Alliance, so you got Arn, Larry Zbysko, Steve Austin, Rick Rude, Bobby Eaton. Who's your favorite member of the Dangerous Alliance?
I don't want you to ask me that. All time is Austin. At that time, I think it was Rude.
Wow, see, WWF got you the end. Because all time, I would go either Arn or Bobby Eaton. But now, I would go Larry Zbysko. Like, out of all those guys, the one I want to watch the most now is Larry Zbysko.
He was a grizzled son of a bitch at that point. It was really good. They're all really good. It was so great. The whole Dangerous Alliance team was so good. I mean, it's in the ring, out of the ring. I mean, when has there ever been a group that was such... They had one of the greatest manager talkers of all time. And all five guys were really good to great talkers, too. Like, guys that didn't even need a manager. And they still had one of the greatest talkers of all time.
Well, Bobby Eaton sucked. Bobby
all right, so far out of the five, though. I mean, Rude was awesome. Austin, at that point, was getting there. you know, Zbyszko was a great talker, and Arn was an awesome, you know, legendary talker. So guys that didn't necessarily need a manager still had the best manager of all time. So my point is they were so versatile, they could have Paul cut their promos. Arn could cut the promo. You know, Austin could cut the promo. Rude could cut the promo. You know, they had Medusa there. It was just unbelievable, stacked group.
The only two that come to mind are the Horsemen, and then because the Horsemen always, like, at their peak had great wrestlers. And then I always consider the Freebirds because I liked all three Freebirds talking and wrestling.
Right. All great. But how many have had a manager? I think the Horsemen are the only one up there that had the manager that could talk with all the guys that could talk and do everything too. Like the Freebirds didn't have the manager per se. I know Hayes kind of was at times, but you know, I'm talking like fat, like stable with a manager.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Horsemen and Dangerous Alliance, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, maybe some versions of the Heenan family, but there was always a guy in there that, you know, like a Haku or a Barbarian that just didn't talk.
Yeah, I'd have to think about like some of those Portland factions with Buddy Rose as well.
Yeah, I mean, there might be something with Jimmy Hart in there too at some point. I don't know, but
yeah.
Anyway, we're not looking at Paul Bearer, Taker, and Kane for sure. But go ahead, Dan. What's our next one?
Last time we did this for Harley Race, I said Bushwhacker Luke. So why not do Bushwhacker Butch?
Bushwhacker Butch. Bushwhacker Butch.
Wait, I got to start this one off.
Oh, yeah, you got to start with it.
Because you did Tony Garea.
Yep, good. Go ahead, have it.
Was involved in a barbed wire cage match with Tommy Rogers of the Fantastics. No. I think the Fantastics were in that match. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Tommy Rogers. And yes, it was them. Tommy Rogers.
Harry Taylor was in there too, right?
Where? In the cage?
Yeah, it was a 6-man cage match, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Tommy Rogers. And I'm going to go way off the reservation on this one. What did he went to ECW at some point. Was it Jerry Lynn he teamed with or something? It was something like that. I'm going to confirm it. Hang on.
Yeah, you better confirm that before you start throwing out Jerry Lynn off Tommy Rogers.
Rogers wrestling ECW where he teamed with the Jerry Lynn. There you go. I knew it was something along those lines.
Excellent. And Jerry Lynn... Ooh, here we go. Jerry Lynn had a classic feud with Sean Waltman early on.
Okay, that's a good one. Sean Waltman had a great feud and upset over Razor Ramon.
And at some point in time, Stunning Steve Austin had to have beaten the Diamond Stud on TV, right?
Or you could even go to WrestleMania 18 where Steve Austin defeated Scott Hall at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, but that's too boring. Let's just pretend that Stunning Steve.
I don't know, they were both heels. You think they fought?
What's that?
They were both heels, though. You think they had a match?
Austin no, and I'm Diamond just Stud? Saying it.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Austin versus Hall.
I mean, they may have had a match somewhere on some D-level WCW show. Look it up, Dan. Who's next? Man, Tommy Rogers was only 54 when he died, huh? Young.
Nah, too soon. It's almost St. Patrick's Day, guys. How about an Irishman? How about Sheamus?
Okay. Ugh, that's Sheamus. You.
Well, I'm going to try and bring it around to you. We'll try and work back a little bit. Sheamus viciously attacked Jamie Noble on an episode of ECW and retired him.
Jamie Noble, didn't he, like, defeat CM Punk for the ROH title?
Yes, he did. CM Punk. Trying to get something different here. All right. CM Punk defeated John Cena to win the WWE title.
Really? That's what you went with?
Yeah. Well, Cena's not really directly with Austin. I think figure there's another step in there you can do.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. John Cena defeated JBL for the U.S. title.
All right. How many steps in are we here? Who do we start with?
Sheamus to Noble, Noble to Punk, Punk to Cena, Basil barking.
And Cena to, who did you just say?
JBL.
JBL. Do I go? So I got one more. Is that it? Do I have to get back? Do I have to get to him this time?
I think you do.
So I have to tie JBL, or I got to come up with another guy?
No, I think you got to tie JBL to Austin.
Okay. JBL to Austin. They did a drinking contest on something. Was it Saturday Night's Main Event? I'll look it up.
I'll take it. I'm pretty sure they did a drinking contest.
Or Austin refereed a drinking contest that JBL was on. It was one of those last Saturday Night's Main Events. They did some bullshit, and they were both on drinking.
I like it.
All right, Dan, what do we got?
Well, here's somebody nobody liked. Johnny Ace.
Oh, this is too easy. Too easy.
Go ahead, you're up.
Johnny Ace is brothers with Road Warrior Animal.
And Road, so you think this is easy? I'm going to throw you for a loop here. Road Warrior Animal was tag team champions with Heidenreich.
Why do you go there, man? Fuck WWE, dude. I was trying to make this an old school one.
Yeah, but old school is easy right. When you tie in these guys with Austin. Heidenreich, where the hell are you going to get to him to Austin? Come on.
I don't even know who the fuck Heidenreich is.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to add a little challenge to this. You know, you give me Jumbo Saruta. I'm trying.
Heidenreich took directions from head of creative Stephanie McMahon.
Stephanie McMahon married Kurt Angle. We'll say Stephanie McMahon was
like, really, dude, I think I was not watching when that Heidenreich guy was there. Like, if you showed me seven wrestlers and said one of them's Heidenreich, like, I don't think I could pick him out.
Haven
of, like,
managed him, like, so he could have won Haven, I guess.
I have no idea who he is, Heidenreich.
All right. Well, Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie McMahon feuded with Nikki Bella. No. Stephanie McMahon. He took direction from Stephanie. All right. Stephanie was kidnapped by The Undertaker. We'll get this one over with.
All right. An Undertaker was managed by Paul Bearer.
And Paul Bearer gets stuffed in a sewer by Steve Austin.
Did he? Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah, 98 okay. Raw, he threw him in a sewer.
I just didn't want to say Undertaker wrestled Austin at SummerSlam 98, you know?
Yeah, it was the end of 98 on a Raw. He pushed him in a sewer.
Yeah, I wasn't just going to, like, do Undertaker Austin. I was going to, like, fuck this. We're going to go into another direction.
All right.
What else we got? Come on.
All right.
We haven't gotten a masterpiece yet.
Chris Masters?
Your masterpiece. Chris Masters. There you go.
Oh, shit.
All right. Chris Masters. Chris Masters teamed with Carlito at WrestleMania that we talked about earlier.
Okay. And Carlito is the son of Carlos Colon from Puerto Rico.
And Carlos Colon had a bloody match at Starrcade with Abdullah the Butcher.
Okay, here we go. And Abdullah the Butcher wrestled in Texas and had a match with the Great Kabuki.
Great Kabuki.
We're close to my connection.
Yeah? Is it your dream connection? I can screw it all up by saying he was in the 94 of our Rumble. I won't, though, because you'll flip out and start yelling and crying about it.
I'm not going to yell and cry, dude. I don't give a fuck about Steve Austin.
Great Kabuki. Great Kabuki was in World Class, where he was with Gary Hart.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yes, he was, who originally was the manager of Chris Adams' Take It Home.
Chris Adams had his wife stolen by Steve Austin.
Exactly. I was hoping you'd go Kabuki to Chris Adams because they had like a super kick feud. But no, I'm down with that, man. That's cool. All right, we got Chris Adams tied to Steve Austin in a roundabout way. I'm so happy. I can die now, all right?
Very good. Well, at least last a couple more weeks to WrestleMania.
All right.
Yeah, at least get through mail before you die. Jeez, Will. God.
I'm dead. Fuck
yeah, we don't want Dan
I'm
having to answer questions.
Oh, just so people know, the F-Jar is no longer in existence because I owe these guys a month of NWA Classics.
You could buy me a hot dog at WrestleMania. We'll call it even.
Well, yeah, it probably cost as much, right?
And not as much value at all.
You can buy me a hot dog.
All right, you don't
hot
need
dog and send it off to
it's not going to happen because next month we're going to do a show where we actually do a live watch with a match from NWA Classics.
Okay. Sounds good, Dan. What do we got?
We got AJ Styles next, guys. He's hot right now.
He is hot. Go ahead, Will. Or did you start last time? Where are we at?
No, you started with Masters and Carlito, so.
Yes.
Because, yeah, that was real good. AJ Styles, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he, what was he, oh, no, he wasn't one of the guys, never mind. AJ Styles believes in God like Mordecai.
What the fuck? Mordecai? Squash.
Was it Mordecai like the Christian warrior against like Undertaker's darkness?
Yeah, he was meant to be. It's good enough. It's close enough.
I'm just fucking around. I'm not going to use Mordecai.
Oh.
Because that was a, like, I don't even want to mention like Mordecai.
I was going to say Mordecai squashed Hardcore Holly in his pay-per-view.
Wait, who was the original guy?
AJ Styles.
Oh, AJ Styles. Yeah. All right. How about this? AJ Styles was in TNA. He had to have like interacted with Kevin Nash at one point, right?
Yeah. I think
but
so.
Since I never saw TNA, let's just squash that. AJ Styles had a match in ROH with Low-Ki. How about that one?
All right, Low-Ki. Here we go. Low-Ki was in WWE as Caval, where he was on NXT with trainers Lay Cool. So yeah, Layla and Michelle McCool. Good luck.
Michelle McCool was married to the Undertaker.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Undertaker.
Hold on. You know what? Layla was the sidekick of William Regal. There you go.
That's a good one. William Regal lost, and this is a layup for you. William Regal defeated Ricky Steamboat for the television title.
I'm not gonna go for that one. Okay, we're not gonna go through the Ricky Steamboat Bash at the Beach with Austin route. Do we have enough wrestlers? Do I have to go to Austin right now?
Damn.
Hello.
We got Styles to Low-Ki, Low-Ki to Layla to William Regal, Regal to Steamboat.
So I have to go to Steamboat to Austin. In fact, we'll even say this: Steamboat had his back broken by Austin, where he could never wrestle again until 25 years later because of Austin. No, I'm just joking. Anyway, yes, Steamboat Austin, Bash of the Beach 94. Done.
There you go.
Only because you have to mention his name on every wrestling podcast. How about CM Punk?
All right, CM Punk, your turn to mine. What do we start off with? AJ,
sure.
You started off.
Sure.
All right, CM Punk is at one time was banging Maria.
Who's Maria?
Maria Kanellis.
Who's that?
Mike and Maria, Mike Bennett's wife now. You know.
Oh, okay, yeah, she's pretty hot up close, man. Maria Kanellis, dude, I literally know nothing about that time and WWE. Maria Kanellis is married to Mike Bennett. Thanks for that one.
There you go. I gave you the answer. Mike Bennett. See, I figured we can go in this like ROH circle that will get us nowhere near Steve Austin.
Dude, you just, I mean, I honestly have no idea
okay.
who Maria was.
Oh, here we go. This
you, no, you can't backtrack. You
no, we're not. This is how we're going to get there. Mike Bennett was part of the faction with Matt Hardy in Ring of Honor.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was like their, the kingdom was Matt Hardy, Bennett, Cole, Adam Cole. Like, Hardy was like their guru or whatever in Ring of Honor.
So then, I thought the kingdom was the Christopher Daniels one, no?
No. No, the kingdom was a Taven. Was that with Taven after? Whatever. He was aligned with Hardy at some point. No, it's the kingdom right here. Bennett, Maria, Adam Cole, and Matt Hardy were the kingdom, the original kingdom.
Okay, so Matt Hardy was sleeping with Lita.
Lita originally. How many we had, Dan? I want to see how difficult I can make this. Susan may be really hard.
Punk to Maria, Maria to Bennett, Bennett to Hardy, Hardy to Lita.
So you got to connect this one.
You got to go Lita to Austin here. Steve Austin beat the shit out of Lita with a chair on an episode of SmackDown. Him and Triple H beat up the Hardys and Lita.
Huh, good one. I wouldn't have known that. I would have just said Austin did not fuck Lita.
Well, we don't know that.
Publicly. On the air.
I was going to say Lita managed Jesse Rios and see how we got out of that one, but we didn't get that. Lita was pissed off by El Dandy. Yeah, go ahead.
Or Steve Corino. I think that was on the sleaze thing, too.
Yeah, he pissed on her,
anyway,
too. Right?
Anyway. The other
on you
Steve
too,
Williams.
We know.
The other Steve Williams in professional wrestling, Dr. Death.
Oh, make this easy. Come on. This is
name.
A. No, I know. It's not just that. It's a. I guess I could just end this. Didn't they team together in a tag match?
Yeah, Williams. No, Austin replaced Gordy, right? And they lost the tag titles.
Isn't that what happened?
Yeah.
But let's not go there. Let's go a fun route. Dr. Death battled One Man Gang for the UWF title.
All right. One Man Gang became One Man Gang fought Bam Bam Bigelow WrestleMania 4.
Bam Bam Bigelow had a match with Barry Windham at Starrcade.
Barry Windham was tag team champions with Dustin Rhodes.
And Dustin Rhodes got his ass kicked by Austin in a porta potty on a Christmas edition of Raw.
There you go. I thought you were going to say the Starrcade match, but you took it a different route. I like it.
Yeah, I kind of went to your territory.
Well, I thought for sure you were going to bury me and say Bam and Bigelow wrestle Lawrence Taylor.
No, I was going to go your territory. Well, that would have been easy. You could have said...
LT did coke with someone.
No. You could have said LT got into his altercation with Bam Bam Bigelow during whatever match that was.
Right. Or you could have said that he trained with Diesel, LT, before that match. I couldn't want that, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I like the other route better. What was the route that we did?
We did Dr. Death to One Man Gang to Bam Bam Bigelow to Barry Windham to Dustin Rhodes to Stone Cold.
Yeah, I like that one. Like where him and Luna Vachon were dressing like freaks and doing all that freaky shit, and Austin like threw him in the porta potty. Yeah, that was fun.
Let's talk some Hall of Famers, guys. Pat Patterson.
You're up.
I got this one. Pat Patterson was heard by Kamala having sex with Steve Lombardi.
So am I tying in Lombardi or Kamala? which part of the story?
I'm just gonna say Lombardi, but verified by Kamala.
All right, so I'm
in
going
his
with
song.
Lombardi.
Did you hear that song that Kamala did?
No. Did it have to do
you
with
never
diabetes?
Heard the Kamala song? No, seriously, the one where he talks about Pat Patterson and Steve Lombardi knocking boots?
No. I've never heard it.
Oh, man. I won't tell you. I'll tell you off the air who turned me on to that song, but it's hilarious. I'm going to find it, okay?
Okay.
And send you the link.
We'll end the show with it. All right. So where I'm at, Steve Lombardi wrestled the Red Rooster or fought with the Red Rooster WrestleMania 5. Didn't wrestle, but he attacked him.
So Terry Taylor?
Yep.
Terry Taylor is part of the York Foundation with Ricky Morton.
Ricky Morton teamed with Robert Gibson.
Robert Gibson had an eye that kind of went weird. Oh, here's one. Robert Gibson lost a match on a Pro or Worldwide in 87 to Rick Rude.
And Rick Rude was in the Dangerous Alliance with Steve Austin.
Exactly.
All right, Dan.
Hold on, I'm listening to this jam.
All right, send me the link. I'll put it in for our closing song of the night here.
What about Andre the Giant, guys?
Kamala here. Andre the Giant, he was tag team champion partners with Haku.
Haku's son is not Roman Reigns, right?
Correct.
Shit. Okay. Haku teamed with Barbarian.
Barbarian challenged Ron Simmons for the WCW Championship.
Ron Simmons beat Vader for the WCW Championship. Are we going too far? Are we?
No, moving? I don't think so. I think we're good.
Okay.
Do I have to tie it in here, Dan? Or do we want more even?
Andre, Haku, Barbarian, Simmons, Vader.
All right, so
yep, it's time.
All right, Vader and Steve Austin fought on an episode of Raw.
I would have said they were part of the Final Four in 1997.
Oh, yeah, that too.
To WrestleMania.
They had a tough man match. I think it was like January of 97 or something on Raw, too. All right, Dan, what do we got? A few more here.
We got Jay Fave, Coco Beware.
All right, Will, go ahead.
Who are we going with?
Coco.
Oh, Coco Beware used to... I can end this right now. Do you want me to end it right now, or do you want to extend it?
No, we got
to
fill a couple minutes here.
Okay, I was just going to say. Well, I'll do a real quick one. Coco Beware had a tag team in Memphis with Bobby Eaton, who was also a member of the...
Blue Bloods Dangerous with Alliance. Dave Taylor.
No, I was going to go Dangerous. No, I didn't want to end it. I just want to show you. I could have ended it.
I know. That was an easy one. But how about Dave Taylor?
No, let's go to this one. No. Coco Beware had a 2 out of 3 falls scaffold match with Bill Dundee.
Bill Dundee had a legendary feud with Jerry Lawler.
I was listening to Kamala. What'd you
Jerry
say?
Jerry Lawler.
Oh, okay. Jerry Lawler hold on. He's like my favorite wrestler.
That's why I said it. We haven't talked about him nearly enough for you tonight.
True. We had to get him in there somehow, right? Jerry Lawler
married Stephanie McMahon in 2003 when
did he really?
Well, if Triple H didn't, maybe he did. He's into the
younger. Oh, yeah. Woman. Yeah, she was younger. Yeah, that would have been... No, she was too old by that time. She was already out of her teens, right? Yeah, too old. I would say... Let's go with this one. Jerry Lawler had a match with Tatsumi... No. That's too hard. Jerry Lawler... Man. Like, I want to make this good. Who do we have so far?
Coco,
Dundee. Bill Dundee, and Lawler.
Yeah.
Oh,
so we
okay.
Got two more guys to do.
Let's do... Jerry Lawler had a feud with... Oh, here we go. The fake Razor Ramon in Memphis. What was that guy's name? Rick Bogner. Yeah.
All right. So I can go one more, and then you're going to do it, right? So fake Razor Ramon challenged, along with fake Diesel, challenged Owen Hart, British Bulldog for the tag team titles at its time, in your house's time. But don't do Owen, do Bulldog.
Oh, I thought you were doing fake Diesel, who was Kane, who wrestled Austin.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
First blood match.
Can you do Bulldog?
Bulldog got a stunner from Austin on Raw one time.
Probably, yes. You could have done.
I have no idea.
You could have done Austin and Shawn Michaels defeated British Bulldog and Owen Hart for the tag team titles.
Oh, I didn't even know. Oh, dude, I was going to say I didn't even know that. But actually, I would say Austin and Dude Love.
Yeah, you could do that too.
Defeated them because I was there live in attendance back in 1997.
You never seen the one where Austin and Michaels beat them? That's a really good match.
Yeah, I have, but okay. Man, I'm old, man. I start forgetting all these matches.
Okay.
I'm still busy listening to this Kamala.
I know. We can hear it. What's up, Dan? We all done here? What do you got?
I want to end this segment because obviously time's up, but also because I really want to hear this. Okay.
All right. Why don't we do this? We've got time for two quick mailbag questions, and then we'll come back and we'll listen to Kamala.
Everybody
song.
Saw that.
All right, don't play it, Will. We can tease it. We're going to play it at the end of the show for everyone. All right.
I can't help it, man. It's the most.
All right. Time for mail. Here we go. Mail time.
We're going to the party. We're going to the game. We're going to the disco. We're going to cruise out, man. Stealing people's mail.
You've got mail.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, first up, Judy Bagwell writes to us again. She writes, should Warlord have been pushed to the moon as the next monster heel in 1991?
Oh, this is one of my favorite topics to talk about, and I'm serious. First of all, Judy Bagwell, I love you and your poll. 91, Warlord, not a guy you think of as a great work rate, in-ring kind of guy, but if there was ever a year where he was kind of sniffing around, it was 91. He had a couple good matches with Davey Boy Smith, one at WrestleMania, one at Tuesday in Texas, fun little six-man at SummerSlam, had a good look, had the look that Vince would be into for a top heel. I think he could have done a lot worse than Warlord as a fill-in contender for Hogan in that summer to help fill out some of that time where he was endlessly feuding with Sergeant Slaughter that went on and on and on and on and on. Even in the fall, when you were kind of starting to build to the Flair program at the end of the year, you could have done Hogan Warlord as a little program. Saturday's main event was pretty much fading away, but you could have even jump-started Warlord sooner in 90 when he first got the look and fed him to Warrior, who desperately needed heel contenders. So yeah, I think Warlord could have been not a guy you really would think he'd win the belt, but at least ate up a couple of house show loops and maybe a Saturday's main event match.
I agree.
There you go. He agrees. Do you agree, Dan? Do you like the Warlord?
I did like the Warlord. I think he got the raw deal when he got clotheslined after 4 seconds in the Royal Rumble. He got hosed. I think he just got typecasted after that.
I think the problem with the Warlord is that he sucked for so many years, and I think when he finally got it, it was just past his time. Like, he'd already been, like I said, typecast. And
yeah.
It was all downhill from there, you know?
We'll always have those matches with the British Bulldog, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Dream matches.
Battle of the Full Nelson.
Well,
hey, guys,
magical,
your favorite.
You know, he appears out of nowhere, attacks the Bulldog. No one else can see him. It's magic.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, guys, your favorite and mine, Ryan Schmock. He goes, hey, if you got the chance to appear on The Price is Right, what pricing game would you want to play the most if you got up on stage?
Plinko.
Oh, definitely
Plinko. No. I want to do that. I want to do the one where you punch the holes and you can, like, get the front and the back of a car.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Or that one with the yodeler.
Just
to hear the yodeler.
Yeah, I was going to say that with the
yodeler. Like, those are the ones. But I think the punching the hole one, because that one was, like, didn't you, like, play it, like, wasn't it, like, higher or lower first? And then, like, you got to punch so many based on how many you got right.
Yeah.
Up to, like, 5 or 6.
It was an attempt.
Yeah,
game.
So I like that one, and I also like, man, let's see, now we're talking about a topic I'm excited about.
Bagging the Barker Beauties?
Dude. Oh, yeah, that too. But they're probably like 70 years old now, right?
Does Drew Carey have beauties? I haven't really watched it recently.
Oh, I don't know. They're probably too young for me. I'm an old man. But it's like there has to be a time when Price is Right has like women that are probably like my age. I don't know what time that would be, but I'd have to figure that out. But anyway, I'm thinking about like that game, like where like maybe there would be a price of a car,
yep.
And it would be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? And then you'd have to take the number out.
You had to put them in order
to get the proper price.
Yeah. Oh no, yeah, wasn't there one where you put them in order too?
I'm sure there was, but that's not the one I'm thinking about. So, dude, The Price is Right is my game. Like, you know, I think I might write for tickets this summer to go appear on The Price is Right in my Motorhead t-shirt.
I don't think you can write for tickets. I think you just go, don't you?
Are you sure, dude? You don't think, like, oh, I guess it's The Price is Right, right? It's not like Jimmy Kimmel where you have to, like, pray or something, right?
No, I think you just go. I think you just, it's in.
I've never sat in a studio audience, man.
Yeah, we almost went 1 year for, like, spring break.
How about this?
We didn't end up going.
The three of us should like arrange where we go to LA just for like a week or like 3 or 4 days, and like we'll wear our authority t-shirts. Like I'll have my Stephanie McMahon shirt on, you know, Dan McGinn will have the Triple H shirt on, and you can have your Vince McMahon No Chance in Hell shirt on, JR, from like 2001 or something.
Okay.
And like we'll be the authority. I don't care. I'll support the pink. I don't give a shit.
Well, there you go. Price is Right. Authority.
Hey, but bonus points if Dan McGinn throws on the Teddy Long Belidat shirt.
way off the rails. So, all right, good stuff. Mail's fun as always. And this is a great return. I think we came back strong. It was fun. I missed it. I missed doing these challenges. So we're planning on being back in 2 weeks' time. We'll be doing more Mania-related stuff, of course, because it will be WrestleMania week.
Hold on. We plan it, but we don't promise it.
Right. As of now, we are planning to be here in 2 weeks' time. A lot going on, like we both said, personally, so it's just tough sometimes to get this on the books. But at some point, we're going to settle in and get back to our regular schedule, and we hope that continues in 2 weeks' time. So be sure to visit PlaceOfMania.com. There's so much going on. WrestleMania week, we have a really cool project coming that's going to roll out day by day leading up to WrestleMania, so be sure to be keeping an eye on that. We have the Kevin Kelly Show coming next week with our big WrestleMania preview. Place to Be podcast. We're going to be looking at New Year's Revolution 06. And then the week after, we have episode 400. Me and Scott will have some special guests, as always. We have a couple of cool topics to talk about. So that'll be coming in a couple of weeks, too. So a very busy rest of March here. PlaceToBeNation.com. Check us out each and every day. Facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation. Place number 2 BeNation on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr. Follow us everywhere for all of the updates each and every day. So for good old Will from Texas, for Dan Begin McMahon, I am JT. We are out. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks, hopefully. Take care.
Bye-bye.